Chapter 11, A Piquant Trait of the Peculiar Psyche of Man. Now let us return to those three-brained beings arising on the planet Earth who have interested you most of all and whom you call slugs. I shall begin by saying how glad I am that you happen to be a long way from those three-centered beings you called by a name so insulting to their dignity, and that they are not likely ever to hear of it. Do you know, my poor child, not yet aware of yourself, what those beings, particularly the contemporary ones, would do to you if they heard what you called them? What they would do to you if they had you in their clutches, the mere thought of it fills me with horror. At the very least, they would give you such a thrashing that, as our dear Mullah Nasruddin puts it, you wouldn't recover your senses before the next crop of birches. In any case, I advise you, whenever you start anything new, always to bless fate and beseech her mercy, so that she may watch over you and keep the beings of the planet Earth from ever suspecting that you, my beloved and only grandson, had the temerity to call them slugs. You must know that in the years that I observed them, both from the planet Mars and during my sojourns among them, I studied the psyche of these strange three-brained beings very thoroughly, so I know what they would do to anybody who dared to give them such a nickname. To be sure, it was only in childish naivete that you called them that, but the three-brained beings of that peculiar planet, and especially the contemporary ones, do not make such nice distinctions. Who called them that, why, and in what circumstances, is all one to them. They have been called by a name they consider insulting, and that's quite enough. Discrimination in such matters, according to the understanding of most of them, is simply pouring from the empty into the void. Be that as it may, you were extremely rash to call the three-brained beings breeding on the planet Earth by such an offensive name. First of all, because you have made me anxious for you, and then because you have prepared for yourself a menace for the future. For even though you're a long way off and they couldn't get at you to punish you personally, nevertheless, if they should somehow learn, even at 20th hand, how you had insulted them, you may be sure that their bona fide anathema would fall upon you, and the scope of this anathema would depend on what chance to be occupying them at the moment. Perhaps it might be worthwhile describing to you just how the beings of the earth would behave if they should happen to learn in what way you had insulted them. This could serve as a good example to elucidate the strangeness of the psyche of these three-brained beings who interest you. If everything was rather dull for them just then, in the absence of any other absurd interest, the moment they were provoked by your insult, they would immediately arrange, somewhere in a previously chosen place, with specially selected people, dressed, of course, in costumes specially designed for such occasions, what is called a solemn council. First of all, for this solemn council of theirs, they would choose what is called a president, and only then would they proceed with their trial. To begin with, they would, as they say, pick you to pieces, and not only you, but your father, your grandfather, and so on, perhaps all the way back to Adam. Further, if they decide, of course, as always by a majority of votes, that you are guilty, they would sentence you according to a code of laws based on former puppet plays of the same kind and collated by beings known as old fossils. But if they happen again, by a majority of votes, to find nothing criminal in your action, though this very seldom occurs among them, then this whole trial of theirs, recorded in detail on paper and signed by the whole lot of them, would be dispensed to the waste paper basket, you think? Not at all. To the appropriate specialists, in this case, to what is called there the Holy Synod, where the same procedure would be repeated, but this time you would be tried by important beings. Only after this lengthy pouring from the empty into the void would they finally come to the main point, namely that the accused is out of reach. But it is just here that the principal danger to your person arises, for when they are certain beyond the shadow of a doubt that they cannot get hold of you, then, as I have already said, they will unanimously decide to do nothing more nor less than to anathematize you. Do you know what this is and how it's done? No? Then listen and shudder. The most important beings will proclaim to all the other beings that in all their appointed establishments, called churches, chapels, synagogues, town halls, and so on, special officials on special occasions with appropriate ceremonies shall mentally wish you something like the following: that you should lose your horns, that your hair should turn prematurely gray, that the food in your stomach should turn into coffin nails, that your future wife's tongue should grow 3 times its length, or that whenever you take a bite of your favorite pastry, it should taste like soap, and so on and so forth in the same vein. Now do you understand what dangers you exposed yourself to when you called those remote three-brained beings slugs? With these words, Beelzebub looked with a smile at his favorite.